We are continuing our series, Cultivating a Come Holy Spirit Community. A lot of C's there. And we will continue that. It's a study in the book of Acts, and we're going to move forward in that today as I invite our senior pastor, Raymond McDonald. Cue music.
From misery to happiness to me. I'm on my way. From misery to happiness to me. I'm on my way to what I want from this world. And years from now, you'll make it to the next world. And everything that you receive up yonder.
Oh boy, I tell you, there's a little excitement. This who else watched Shrek 1 and 2 yesterday? There you go. Little stuff on television for all the kids there. You didn't watch Shrek, did you? That's rated R. I understand. I like Shrek. He's a big old galoot and stinks, and gotta love him. That's what I would say. But obviously, anyone know the name of that band there? They have a name, yeah. Proclaimers, that's right. Very good. From 1988, that's right. That's 88. That's not a new song. That's an old song. For those who, anyone who said not that old? Oh, yeah, well, you know. You were born in 88, I guess, so I don't know. But for me, I missed the 80s. They weren't something that I remember much about that. But there you go. That's a couple of twins, and they're not good-looking guys. So anytime you got two guys who aren't good-looking up there in a band, for them to make it, you know the Lord's with them. It was a fantastic thing. But what I love about the song, certainly, is that exactly... I'm on my way is exactly what the Holy Spirit is proclaiming at Pentecost. That we're on our way. That we're on our way because the Holy Spirit's moving in us as a people of God towards something, and that something is new creation. And as we're continuing to go through this book of Acts and talk about it, and we're talking about Pentecost as it would continue on, is that the Holy Spirit is moving us somewhere. Not just lighting our fire, basically, but moving us towards the new creation, the recreation, the reclamation, if you will, the reclaiming of God, of His people, and saying, "This are the people that I have formed, and I want to be the ones who wear that image, or be the image bearers of the people of God, centered on and in the person of Jesus Christ, forming that community, as it were, a community built on the design of, if you will, the social trinity of the Godhead." Clark Pinnock, who is a Pentecostal theologian who has a book that's called Flame of Love. I don't know if we have a picture of the cover. We don't right now, but a wonderful book. He's passed on. It says, "The social trinity is the only understanding of God that accounts for the narrative of salvation. The Father sends the Son into the world, and His suffering for us is in union with the Father, in turn releases the Spirit, and community is central to our earthly life. We are created for it in the image of the Trinity." Community. You say, "Man, you're always talking about community." Well, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I want us to see how powerful the Holy Spirit is in forming that community. And as we go in this series, as a Come Holy Spirit community, we realize this ancient prayer of "Come Holy Spirit" has become so divisive in the church today, so much so that it seems that the Holy Spirit is this crazy uncle who shows up at the party and causes everyone to go home. Now, you know everyone's got that crazy uncle, and some of you are that crazy uncle. That's right. I've met her crazy cousin, so there it goes. But in that there... Jack Levinson, in his book Inspired, a book I've quoted and that I recommend to you as well, says, it says, if two distinct churches are forming in the world today, and those that engage in Holy Spirit experience, and those that want nothing to do with it. And these two poles sit out there, and we get the churches that are going on in Latin America and over in Africa that are just teeming with Pentecostalism. And then those who are sitting over here saying, you know what? We like to think through our experiences, and we like to look at them, and we like to be a thought out type of believer. Well, the Holy Spirit is not divisive. He's not forming two different churches. He's not the crazy uncle at the party. He is the love that's pouring out of the Father and Son that's coming and bring us together into this social community. Some of you are going, I haven't experienced what you're talking about. Well, I want you to understand that here at the Vineyard, we want to engage in the full continuum of the Holy Spirit. You see, we believe that the Holy Spirit inspires community, not just personal ministry. We've already said that to you, and we're going to throw it up here. That's not your fill in the blank. That's review. Hence the word review put over it. Don't put that in your fill in the blank. Bring him over something. He's confused. You may leave now. Yeah, I'm on my way. So we also should write in there, guys, not just personal ministry. The Holy Spirit inspires community, not just personal experience. Now, am I saying that you don't get a personal ministry out as the Holy Spirit moves you? I'm not saying that. Some of you might. Am I saying you're not going to have a personal experience? I'm not saying that. But if that's all that's happening in the church, if that's all that's happening in any church, any movement, any revival, and it's not building a community for Christ, it's missing exactly what the Holy Spirit intends to do. And some of you have been through revivals, you've seen it all, and you've seen everything fall apart and just unravel as it came. That is not the Holy Spirit unraveling things. It may be Him moving. It may be Him and knocked you down. It was Him in the preaching. It was Him in the offering. It was Him in all of those things. But it wasn't Him telling you to go to your preacher and say, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling me to go somewhere else right now. No, that what's telling you to go somewhere else right now is that you're mad at your pastor. And deal with that. And then you might want to go somewhere after that. That's fine too. But in his book, Flame of Love, again, I quote from Clark Pinnock. He says, from cross and resurrection comes the community that prolongs the anointing of Jesus by the Spirit and anticipates this new humanity. And that's you, guys. The church is a foretaste of the new race, the colony of heaven, the embodiment of the koinonia, or the community that God is and that the world will become. God does not will to be alone. So His love overflows in creation and redemption, and He seeks a community in which to pour the Spirit. And my question to you today, will we be that community that we say, come pour your Spirit? And I know I'm reading to you, but if you've got the book, read it yourself and tell me to shut up. Otherwise, I'm going to read it to you. By the Spirit, humankind is now being drawn. Again, I'm on my way. Drawn into the direction of the wedding banquet and into the union with God. Those who were with me Saturday, I said, I want to remind you, we are people of the eschaton, which means the end time. We're already wired for what is to come. Which is why we hunger and why we sometimes have a righteous dissatisfaction with what we see. He's drawing us towards this wedding banquet and to union with God. By the Spirit, too, the invitation becomes genuinely universal, and the church is healed of its brokenness as it's led into the truth. Healed of our brokenness. Instead of being broken by the apparent polarization caused by the Holy Spirit experience. You see what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit's about drawing us into community, how come we continue to see the separation of people because of Holy Spirit experiences? As we've already seen in the previous weeks, the Holy Spirit comes in this nice, quiet way as a waiter who comes in with a little napkin over his arm and says, hi, how you doing? We love words like, you know, he's a gentleman, he would never, and all these things. But the truth is, when he came at Pentecost, it was a violent wind blowing and tongues of fire going around, touching people on the shoulder, saying, hey, how you doing? Would you like to speak Italian? There was lots of things going on today that we would simply say, is this crazy? Crazy. But we believe this here. The Holy Spirit infuses the community. Again, don't write this feeling down. It's review, Ron. With ecstatic experiences that have meaning. Now, you can write them down, but just don't put them in your fill-in-the-blank, all right? That'll confuse you. I want us to understand that when ecstatic things happen, we can receive them. We don't need to freak out. Sandy, we don't have to freak out. But it's okay, Earl, if we ask what they meant. And many of us came from a background where we were very skeptical of ecstatic experiences. And then many of us also have come from a background where ecstatic experiences were everything. Right, Steve? I mean, where we become skeptical because we've seen, don't grieve the Holy Spirit and ask what just happened. I jumped over the pews because the Holy Spirit told me to. Are the people who get, I don't know why it is, people always get pulled over driving naked because God told them to. Again, these are those things that seem to happen if you just don't question what the Holy Spirit's doing. So. Now, that's exactly what Peter is doing, by the way. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you that curveball. But I want to say this here. Peter understands this. Most of us, if this would have happened in the church, the wind, the tongues, the fire, we would have sat back and said, we had church today, baby. And no one would say a thing. We'd go home and half of us would go, what the heck just went on? And the other half would go on, you'd be on Facebook going, man, we had a wonderful time at church. But we wouldn't ever have to question it because we'd know it was God. But see, Peter understands something, that the ecstatic has meaning and purpose, and that if we don't sit back and try to pull from what's going on, the crazy stuff, then we might just miss the message of what God is doing. We might just miss the whole point of what he's doing, because if the whole point is that he just knocks you on the ground, you might go to thinking that you're an exhausted person. You might go to thinking he didn't like you and wanted you on the ground because he's mad at you. No, the point is ecstatic things have meaning. And Peter stands up in front of those people 2,000 years ago on that Pentecost Sunday and begins to explain what happened. He didn't just see this as a day where the Holy Spirit came like a violent wind in tongues. He saw something there, and he understood this here, that the Holy Spirit instills the community, again, another review, because I'm going to continue to get this ingrained in us so that we can experience the Holy Spirit in a way that receives ecstatic and comprehension, that instills a community with a fresh understanding of God's Word. And he begins to use the ancient scriptures of Torah, to explain this new phenomenon that's going on. Because he understands something fresh is happening. He's a fisherman, by the way. He's not some theologian. He's not a rabbi. He's not even trained underneath rabbis to any great extent. This untrained fisherman, this Galilean, stands up and wields the scriptures as some powerful theologue and begins to explain, and we shall see what just went on. And we today, here at the Vineyard, sit smack dab in the middle of these poles which might define the positions of the church at large, wanting the best of the word and the best of experience. And what we're looking for is discernment. And in the words of Ignatius, that discernment isn't something that's between what's good and bad. It's between what's good and better. You understand? Discernment is hard by definition. It's not easy. It's a gift of the Spirit. And understand this here. We're using a gift of the Spirit to discern the Spirit. And boy, the word Spirit gets thrown around a lot in there. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen. With us, ability to discern. And by this definition, what we're looking for are the intuitions, are the actions of the Holy Spirit, so that when He moves in our midst, we can say, man, that was the Holy Spirit. Or no, we can say that was just Brian being crazy to Daisy, okay? Which could be the Holy Spirit too, so fantastic. Now, as Peter preaches, he proclaims certain Pentecostal intuitions of the Holy Spirit, meaning that these are a Pentecostal intuition in the sense that if we're shut off to anything of the Spirit, we're not looking for it anyhow, Karen. But if we're open to the things of the Spirit, how can we discern what is the Spirit and what is someone just getting crazy on us? Well, that's kind of hard and difficult. But some things are pretty easy, like you said. Driving naked is obviously not one of the Pentecostal intuitions that I would go with. So stay away from that one. Pentecost comes with these Holy Spirit accoutrements. And again, the word accoutrements is one that you get to write down. And it's one you love. But it was one that John Wimber used all the time. He liked accoutrements. I don't know why, but I see Nancy just shake her head. She does not want to write accoutrements. But that's okay, because it just means here that there are certain things about the Holy Spirit that we know the Holy Spirit comes like. Brian Benita likes the word. He says accoutrements are like a police officer. He comes in, he's got his badge, he's got his gun, he's got his belt on, his bat belt. He's got the things that are necessary for him to do the business of being a police officer. And the Holy Spirit has these certain things about him, yes, him, not just some flitting spirit, that let us know he's come to do business. And what is his business? Forming a community for God's people. And everything he's doing is doing that. Bringing people into community and forming that community of God's people. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes a lot about the Spirit, and these are the gifts of the Spirit. You've got the gifts of the Spirit, and you've got the Spirit. But it says here, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. He has these great accoutrements. We've read this to you before, and I guess I can read it again. It's all up there for you. Look at that. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Good works in different ways, but God works in different ways, but in the same God who does the work in all of us. As you go through, he'll list you those gifts of the that are there. Look at that. Ability to be wise advice. And there you go. You got to discern that, because someone might give you advice and you might realize real quick they're not one who's been given the spirit of wise advice. So you better discern that real quick. But you understand what I'm saying. Knowledge. Faith in another. Someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. These things are given, and they're not generally just a person to get that all their life. These things come for the moment. They're like, this is what I use in this moment. Today I have the gift of healing because I laid hands on somebody and they got healed. I don't sit around and go, well, I'm not gifted of healing. I can't pray for you. But I hear that someone else has the gift of healing. I'll give you the number. But the point I'm saying today is the Holy Spirit moves in ways and does things with gifts of the Spirit. And just as we know that he moves in these things, we also can see things happening in the body of Christ. So let's get going is where we're at today. Let's get going on the book of Acts. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, even as we look at this. Heavenly Father, I ask that you come, that you open our eyes in a way to be able to receive and to involve and ourselves in the experiences and the learnedness that you're bringing to us today. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I invite the Holy Spirit to come, I'm asking his manifest presence to come near you. More than just he's here, but that he's right near you. Coming over to your desk, leaning over, looking at your homework, looking at your test, saying, yes, I'm speaking to your heart today. And I'm calling you in to this great community of Christ. Now, Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice. Remember, he's with the other ones that are there, and they got a new disciple, Dennis. Good to see you, Dennis. Glad to have you back, sir. So he gets them there, and he says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men aren't drunk. Well, wow. Wouldn't you love it if I started my sermon like that in the morning? I want you to hear me. Fellow people of the vineyard, Brian Fox is not drunk today. He just wanted to talk about Miss Kritzwingle. What was her name there? Kritzmeyer. Yeah, exactly. But the fact is, the fact that we would have to start our sermon like that would make you go to thinking things were getting crazy around here. We're not drunk. We should have started that when we flew those doves and pineapples down. We probably should have started the sermon like that. We're not drunk today. It's just Father's Day. So, now, they said that because people thought they were drunk. But this is my favorite line in the entire Bible. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Come back at noon. When church lets out. Gotta love it. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, again, that eschaton, in the time, the last days, that understanding where the Messiah would come and begin to renew all that had went wrong, to bring his people, set up camp, make it all come to right. God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Woohoo! Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire, billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness. And the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, isn't that exciting today? And it's a great Pentecostal message. And if you've ever been raised in a Pentecostal church, you've heard this one gone and done a lot. If you've been raised at more of an evangelical church, as I was in Southern Baptist, this isn't something we really camped out on a lot, okay? We camped on a lot of other good stuff, but not particularly this one here. Jack Levinson, again, in his book, The Pentecostal, or book Inspired, says that there are 5 Pentecostal intuitions. And again, we're going to look more at what Peter says. But Jack would say that the first one, meaning by intuitions, if you're Pentecostal, this is just something you pretty much think. And the first one is this here, a position of radical openness to God. And in particular, God doing something different or new. Now, you say, what's so crazy about that? Well, because if you weren't raised in a charismatic or Pentecostal background, this would not be an intuition you have. It wasn't one I had. I wasn't looking for God to do something new today. I was looking for God to show himself true by his word of what he did yesterday. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? And so being open to the newness was something new to me. Anyone understand what I'm trying to say? But I want you to see the Pentecostal intuition in Peter, that he's open to what's new today. He's not baffled by it. He's not thrown a curveball by it. No, he believes it has explanation in the scripture. And he comes up and begins to explain it because he understands God's doing something new. And at the heart of Pentecostal spirituality, being open to that, is this deep sense of expectation and openness to surprise. Indeed, we might say that for Pentecostals, the unexpected is expected. The surprise comes as no surprise. Right, Steve? I'm asking Steve. That was his background. The surprise comes to no surprise. But for those of us who came from another background, it's always a surprise. Okay, so I want us to understand today, as we are open to the Holy Spirit, we must be open to the things that are new and him coming in fresh ways that are there that may challenge us personally, but it's okay because we can question it. I'll know this here when we were at the Yellow House and holding hands, very Baptist and praying as we were at that time. And as we were just praying, all of a sudden, somebody falls and hits their face on the hardwood floor. And it was Walter. You know, he was too old to do those things back then. He was in his 50s. So the point was, as we were just praying, people begin to fall out. We weren't asking anyone to. We just were holding hands, praying for the evening. And things happened. And he was the first to go. He was the first fruits of the moment. But everyone began to move in those ways. My point in all that is, could we explain what was going on specifically? No, but we were open to what the Lord may be doing at this time. And I was so concerned, too. One first thing I was concerned for was that I was paid up on my homeowner's insurance as Walter fell. But but the second was this going to be too much for Walter, or was this too much for Susan, Susan's sister, and others who were in the group? But then I just stopped and said, well, I know I didn't do anything. And I know that they weren't willing to smash their face to the floor, as Walter did. The rest were kind enough to fall on the couch. But in saying that, I realized something new was going on. And that's one of the things that we see going on when the Holy Spirit moves. Are we open to that? And so you take the central point of the narrative of Acts 2 to be Peter's courage and willingness to recognize in these that the strange phenomena, the operation of the Spirit, and declare it to be God's work, to declare this is that, was to be open to God working in unexpected ways. In other words, the crux of the Pentecost story is not the spectacular events of Acts 2, 1 through 4, but rather in 2:16, where Peter, with characteristic hermeneutic boldness, asserts, this is from God. Now, Carol, you teach precepts, so you know this is the stretch, isn't it? This is from God. Peter's quotation of the prophecy means that these days, the days of the fulfillment of God's purpose, has arrived. And the quotation comes from Joel 2:28, and Joel announces the coming of the day of the Lord, the day when he will act in righteousness and mercy. But the prominent feature of the words Peter quotes is the prediction of the outpouring of God's Spirit on the whole human race, literally on all flesh. And it would have been the heart of Moses himself who said this here in Numbers 11:29. He said, would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put the Spirit upon them and that they would prophesy, because it was his desire to see it pour out on everyone, because here he was, seemingly the only one who heard from God, and it was getting exhausting for him. He wanted them all to share in the powerful move of the Spirit in this prophecy. It was there. Now, I want us to understand, for him to attach it to Joel made a lot of sense to him, because you would say, well, what was going on? Well, because the darkness of the sun had went dark when Jesus hung on that cross. And the next day, or that Paschal sun would have been a blood red, more than likely. So he saw that something had happened, and he tied it to the scriptures, and understanding prophecy from the Old Testament at times when the Spirit would fall on people, especially we see this with Saul, they would prophesy. What exactly was that prophecy? Was they running around telling people their secrets? No, they were probably proclaiming the works of God and what was going on. The understanding of prophecy differs from one to the other. But he understood that these languages that had come out, that begin to speak the greatness of God, was prophetic, and it was a tremendous thing, and he tied it to Joel, and he understood it. Now, obviously, Joel's understanding of prophecies a little bit more than just proclaiming the goodness of God, which, by the way, I count as prophecy. Every time in worship, someone calls out and begins to proclaim God's goodness, that's prophetic, the utterance of God speaking out. But for him, understanding visions and dreams and this whole heading of prophecy, he's understanding that prophecy has got some foreknowledge as well in it. Not saying today we'll have an earthquake, though some might feel that they're going to get an earthquake. And if you live in Oklahoma, that's not a hard prophecy to have, apparently. So the point is, they had 200 already this year. The point, yes, Oklahoma, gotta love fracking. But in that, the point is that prophecy is part of the Holy Spirit moving. So today, if you're struggling with Holy Spirit movement in the church because there's prophetic insight. Now, by the way, how much of that prophecy, what does it look like? We can discuss and discern those things. But for the most part, just on a basic little cracker, good to see you, Dave, is this here. Prophecy existed as the Holy Spirit moved the church. So it's one of the accoutrements that's there. It's there. Were you with me on why I'm telling you that today? Because you can get mad about some things, but you can't throw that one out, all right? We understand that there. It is there. And I love this here in 1 Corinthians 14:35. The one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening. It's an encouraging thing that the Holy Spirit uses in building up the community. Encouraging and comfort. He goes on and says, if you speak in a tongue, it edifies yourself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. He said, I would like that you would speak in tongues, but I would rather that you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater. And he goes on that. The whole thing is what is going on when the Holy Spirit's using prophecy. Well, he's building up a personal ministry for the prophets so they can move from church to church and make good money. No, to build up the church. The church. His people, his community. The move of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated by prophecy, dreams, and visions. We see that. Now put it down, because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to move. And prophecy, dreams, and visions, and the purpose of it is to come and build community. For me,
as a man who'd walked away from the Lord for 12 years, a call on my life was superseded by my desire to be rich and famous. I'd like to do them all, but I didn't get the chance. The point was, I was a musician and that was my heart. And some guy has a dream, a vision of some sunglasses. And on them, he sees the word Ray-Ban. And he says, why Ray-Ban sunglasses? And God says to him, because there's a guy named Raymond who plays guitar, lives in Los Angeles, and he's going to come back and serve me. Well, he doesn't know anyone in Los Angeles, so he calls the only church he knows, the Vineyard Church in Anaheim. Well, when he calls the Vineyard Church in Anaheim, my friend Chris Lazat, who we're friends from playing in the clubs together, says, I know who that guy is. So they come down and they find me playing in the nightclubs and say, hey, would you like to come play some guitar with me? And the point is, I said, no, I didn't want to play with guys like that. All I knew about Christian music was Striper, and I didn't want anything to do with tight pants with stripes. So all that is the point, though, it was the beginning of what would go on. For me later, as the Lord would come, it was prophecy that called me in. For Bobby, it was prophecy. I'll never forget, as I'd come to the Lord that night, that same person said, hey, you think your brother will play with us at the church tonight? I said, I don't know if you pay him, he'll come. And they said, okay, we can get some money for him to come. And so Bobby's invited to come to the church. And as Bobby comes that night, he said that he's going to get saved tonight. And Bobby came and some guy gave his testimony of how he'd come to Jesus Christ because Satan came to him playing a watermelon half like a guitar. And I think it was weird. He was on acid or something. Was his dream. And Bobby was touched. I thought, this guy's going to drive Bobby away. Bobby said, I was touched because if Jesus would appear to a man who was on acid talking about guitars and stuff, then he'll appear to me and speak to me. And somehow it touched Bobby and he was saved. Prophecy was a big part of our life coming into the church. It touched me tremendously. When I first came back to the church, I've told this story. I sit up in the balcony, and they were singing a song, and they started singing, Raymond, Raymond. And I thought, oh my goodness, that sounds like my name. And I'd had enough. I began to walk down the aisle. There was a big place walking down. And the guy began to prophesy. He began saying, and Raymond, my son Raymond, I'll give you new life. And just begin to prophesy over my life. I'll save all your household. I remember almost every word he began to sing as I walked down thinking, this guy doesn't know me that well. He can't know these things. It was the beginning, and people all came up. There was 3,500 people singing Raymond. I loved the song. I wish I could get the worship team to do it. But the point was, I seen prophecy open up the lives of many people and bring them into community. I've also seen prophecy used in the most ridiculous ways to bring attention to people. My son should be an astronaut at this point. My liver's been healed, though it never had a problem before. I've heard and seen it used and misused in many ways. But I can't throw it out because of the charlatans or because the person who meant well and did it badly. Because it is an accoutrement of the Holy Spirit's move. Do we see that? People preach the gospel with bad intentions. I'm not going to throw the Bible out. You understand that? We don't throw it out because people mess it up. It's God's. So what do I mean by prophecy? Well, I won't go deep into that as much as to say we are open for that word of knowledge that may come from you to another. We're open for you to speak during the worship time as you do because of that. We're open to you coming and saying, I feel God's talking to me about the church with something. We don't do it openly in ways because that allows us to do what? To discern. That's right. Because we believe that ecstatic experiences can be comprehended and have meaning. And so the purpose is we weigh those things. Just because you got it don't mean it doesn't get to be weighed. Does that make sense? So that's why we go in that way there. But if you have that and you would like to write it down, more than welcome the things and the gifts of the Spirit. I encourage you, as people in community, to stare into each other's eyes even as you talk and see what the Lord may be saying. When you're praying for someone, getting that discernment, that spirit, that prophetic intuition there. And do I think that all could prophesy? Well, Paul seems to think so. Okay? To what degree depends on your experience and your faith and your belief in that. Have I had an experience of prophesying over people? Very much so. Have I done it with great specificity? I have at times. And there's other times I've looked at someone and got nothing. The point is, if God wants to build the community through me, leave it open to me. That's why you say, does that mean anything to you at all, Roseanne? And Roseanne says, not really. And that's okay. Thank you very much. Are you with me this morning? I preached it heavy, but there's a reason why. Okay? So how does it build up the community? That becomes the question, if that's its purpose. Well, again, as we read on in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So it works in encouraging the church. It also works in exposing the secrets that are laid bare in our heart. Has anyone ever prophesied over you and nailed the secrets of your heart? Did you think they were just a wonderful person, or did you think what I thought? God loved me so much, he actually used a human being to come and speak to me. Okay? There you go. All right? Let's be quick. Move on, because I know you got things to do, people to go places. Is there a race today? There's a NASCAR race, right? Hawk says he loves NASCAR. He's ready to get there, so we go.
Sure do.
Sure do. Me like you. All right. Listen to this next thing. We're going to go quick, Robert. So I encourage you. I encourage you. I really do. Those who have had the heart of prophecy, I encourage you. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purposes and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Now, Peter is not talking to the guests who are showing up at this Feast of Pentecost. He's talking to those Jewish leaders who did put Jesus to death. And he's saying, by the way, you couldn't have done it if God didn't have a foreknowledge of it and it wasn't part of his plan. But let me tell you something. Even though it was God's foreknowledge and plan, you are responsible for what you did. Okay? But let's come back to this. Why are they responsible for what they did? Because he's saying it was attested to you. You knew by the signs and wonders and miracles. Why am I bringing it up? Because, again, an accoutrement of the Holy Spirit that we see that was on Jesus. And the one that he gave to us in that authority and the one he trained his disciples was signs and wonders and miracles. They are a part of the gospel. They are part of what goes on in the church when the Holy Spirit's there. They are natural, not really supernatural. Only supernatural in this, that they are of the Holy Spirit. But it's very natural to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, another one of the Pentecostal intuitions is that we Pentecostals are open to an enchanted theology, meaning this here, we believe that things of the Spirit come and move beyond what we can feel, taste, and touch. And that's on the negative side too, because we believe in deliverance and warfare and these kind of things. We don't believe it's just the memorization of my verse. It understands this here, that the Word of God speaking into me because I'm out here dealing and fighting in a world that has enchantment in it. Does that make sense to us today? That we believe in the supernatural life that is out there. So if you don't believe that God does anything other than what he's done, then you will struggle when the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit comes and moves and does deliverance and does miracles. What are the signs and wonders of Jesus? Healing people, driving out demons, raising people from the dead. Got it? And then there's miracles. I ain't ever figured out why that gets separated out, but there you go. Are we open? Are we open to gold dust and these things that you might be sowing going out there? I don't know. I'm not a real gold dust lover, but if you got something and want to give it to me, I'll give it a shot. I just want to say that why aren't we running around with this or that and the other? I think there's personalities of churches and stuff that's there. I'm never going to speak against the way someone else does that. Why aren't more of you women making your own clothes and baking bread? I don't know. But if you've gone to some Pentecostal things that are here, and I have, there's a lot of women in homemade clothes, and there's certain things that people get attached to. This must be Jesus. And I think it's good. It saves you money, and that's fantastic. But there's the big P, Pentecostal stuff, and there's the little P, intuitions, that I'm trying to say, this is the Holy Spirit, and how you live that out, that's okay. You're not in sin if you make your own clothes and bake bread. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you're not in sin if you buy your bread at the store and buy your clothes at the store and send your kid to a public school. Does that make sense? They're both just as it's wonderful. One may work best for you, one best for the other. But here's what we're saying today, that signs and wonders are part of that. And for John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, this became a big thing, that he went to the Gospels and said, when do we get to do the stuff that Jesus said we'll do? So when you sit back and say, I don't pray for the sick, I don't want to have anything to do with somebody who's bad, they're dark and their darkness offends me, how are you going to be in a community that is supposed to bring the darkness in so it might find the light? Amen? Give yourselves a hand, because that's you. How are you going to grow anything if there's not some manure in here, right? Some of you are raising your hand. I'm the manure. I'm not trying to say you need to remain manure. But the point is that we are absolutely part of the gospel is laying hands on the sick, praying. But that's why we do ministry here. Now, if you'll see, I'm trying to demonstrate why we do certain things in this church so that you understand that. That's why we do ministry. That's why there's more than a call to salvation and more than a call to joining the church or recommitting your life. I believe in all those three things, and we'll talk about it in a second. But I'm praying for your back, because when we see your back healed, we see the power of the kingdom of God come right here among you. Jesus said, if you think I do this by Satan, you're giving Satan a little bit too much power. And I'm using my own words. Because why would Satan heal people in the name of Satan? But if I come and I heal people and it's by God, by the finger of God, then God is among you and the kingdom of God is here. It demonstrates the kingdom of God. And so does your family getting back together, your marriage being bonded again, your finances being fixed. All these are healing aspects of the kingdom of God. So does justice being able to be set right. These are demonstrations of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense what I'm saying today? Am I boring you with this kingdom of God stuff? Because if I am, then so be it. Hebrews 6:4, it's from a negative kind of sign, it says this here. It's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and listen up, and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. Why is he saying that? Because he's saying when the powers come of the coming age and you've tasted of them and you that's not enough for you, you find that boring, then what can bring you back? God has nothing greater to offer you than his kingdom and moving and bringing your life into the completeness of the kingdom. His word, his power, his works, his proclamation, his demonstration. So come, Holy Spirit, and let's see it move in our lives. The wonders, the move of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated by miracles, signs, and wonders. I'll give you that so you can write that down. You believe that, Hannah? Well, absolutely believe that, don't you? And that's the great thing about our young people here, because you have been raised in this environment to believe these things. My age group, we were way too smart for this stuff. We were modern. We understood math. Now I can't even do it. Math used to be illegal, quite honestly, because it was believed to be of Satan. Because the people used math to figure out the things of the Spirit. So we don't need the Spirit when we have math, apparently. Some of you are saying, praise God, I got the Spirit. I hate math, so... Again, I read from Hebrews as you write that down. God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. That's the way he confirmed the message. So if all we have is the message, and we eradicate the rest of what it is, we have chopped in half the very things that Jesus has come to do. Do we understand what I'm saying? Are you with me today?
Yes.
Yeah, good. May I move on? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope." Again, he's quoting from the Psalms here. "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence." Again, I love the fact that this untrained fisherman's pulling scripture out and explaining what just happened. Guys, it was pretty. He didn't have a week to get down and work this out, all right? He didn't have a sermon team. He got up, and this is coming off the cuff. Man. "Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand,'" again, more scripture, "'until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.'" So real quick, I want to say, he's trying to use David's scriptures here, saying David's talking about resurrection. David's talking about not seeing death and decay. Well, let me be very sure to you that David's dead, and we know where his tomb is. He said, "It's right over here. Everyone knows where it's at. We visit it all the time." So it wasn't he was talking about. He was talking about someone else, and I'll tell you who he was talking about. Peter said he's talking about this Jesus who you crucified. And he's the one who's been resurrected. And he's the one who's been exalted. We saw it with our own eyes. So therefore, understand this here. The Holy Spirit has been poured out because he's done what he said he would do. And this resurrection of Jesus Christ. Powerful stuff, it's there. And here's the deal. We today, if we want to attribute the Holy Spirit to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who would? Go ahead and raise your hand. Would you think it was the Holy Spirit? Well, it says it was. And the exaltation. Understand, that's one of the accoutrements of the Holy Spirit, is resurrection and exaltation. Will we all be exalted to the right hand of God? No, you might get over there on his foot. But here's the thing. We all will see resurrection who come to know Jesus Christ and walk into this community of Christ. And we all will be exalted to be part of that community. But we're not waiting to die, Ken, to get this. That today when the Holy Spirit moves in this church, if it's all about signs and wonders, and it's all about prophecy, and no one's life is being effectively resurrected today, changed, transformed, then salvation is suspect if there's no transformation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I want you to write this down. The move of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated when we grow in resurrection life. Now, some of you old-timers want to call that sanctification. Transformation. If we see our lives being transformed, we know that's the Holy Spirit. So today, if you pray for someone and they weren't healed and no one prophesied over you, but your life became more cruciform to Christ, the Holy Spirit moved. We must be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit will move as he chooses to, and that church is being done today when folks' lives are being changed, families are put together, and hearts are being healed. It is as powerful as the other. They're all part of it. Do not, and again, here's my evangelical background, coming back from, I said, my Southern Baptist roots, we're not going to throw out transformation as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the accoutrements of the Holy Spirit. He is moving in that way. He's getting, I've prayed for people, and I've shared this with those who were here Saturday. Thank you for coming Saturday and going through the ministry training. We had a wonderful time. But I shared the story of how I prayed for a young girl there outside of Peoria, Illinois. And she was a foster child. And as I prayed for her, there was a prophetic moment where I saw things in her life that had happened to her. And I told her, she went nuts. She drugged me through all the folding chairs and took them out. She was growling. She finally collapsed. collapsed into the floor and lay there. It just wore out as it was a demonic assessment of things going on. And you would say, man, that was church. So much so was it exciting, and I forgot about something else because I received a letter about a month later from a guy who said, hey, I was at that church when you prayed for me that night. You didn't know it, but I was heavily addicted to cocaine, and I was delivered. I was actually a dealer in my community, and when I was converted to Christ, it changed my entire community. I want to say right now, that's powerful. Got it? Man, resurrection life, just as powerful. Be open for the whole thing, baby. You with me, Paul? You with me? Give me a big hug. Reach out here, Paul. Big hug. Come on. Just like this, kind of like, okay, very good. He's not one of those guys who likes a hug, air hug. So there we go. He's got a lot of good things, but that's not one of them. So here is Romans 8:12 says, don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give a decent burial and get on with your life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go and people to see. That's my part. The resurrection, like you, received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Grave-tending like trying every day to do a sin check. No, it's adventurously expectant, greeting God with childlike, what's next, Papa? Well, I'm going to tell you, Papa got a brand new bag. Mm-hmm. Come here, sister. Mm-hmm. Okay, little James Brown for you. That's right. There you go. So here come the thing. I want us to say, I want it all. Now, I've got three minutes, and I'm going to use them. They're mine, Walter. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And I want to tell you, as a preacher, ain't nothing greater than when someone comes to you and says, oh, what do I do about that? And no matter what your message is, what do I do? And there's nothing more scary when someone says that, because you're generally going, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I just do what I'm supposed to say. So, but in this case, Peter replies, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Check that out, man. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized. And then they had an altar call, about 3,000 people added that day, okay? Little old altar call. Now, I don't know, remember when I took Teresa to church the first time, and she actually was saved and walked down the altar. There was 200 people that day that got saved, and that's a number. I can't imagine 3,000 coming down. This wasn't some conference like a choir of the fire. This here, they're hanging out. They're not getting paid for this. They don't have people who paid to get in. They're speaking to the people walking down the street who are all gathered around. How powerful the Holy Spirit comes. But I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is powerful and moves in this. Repentance is called for. A complete change of heart, a spiritual about face was essential for those who had failed to recognize that God sent deliverer. And Jesus was nevertheless to enjoy that deliverance which had come for them now. Here's the thing. I like it to be sweet and pretty. But we're sinners, guys. And the message of sin and the message of failure and the message of a need of a redeemer is still a message today that needs to be heard. And you want to count the Holy Spirit as moving? Then people ought to be coming to Jesus Christ and repenting with their lives. Does that make sense to you? That's part of it too. Now you say, well, that was the church I went to and that's all we did talk about. Well, good. But you can understand, here are the poles that are existing today. We got churches who just want to do an altar call. And we got churches who just want to do the prophecy and the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? I don't see the Church of Pentecost being separated down the middle. It's all one thing. And by the way, I'm not talking about any church. And I'm not saying that it's that easy. I'm simplifying it for us. But the first 2 points belong to one church, and 3 and 4 belong to it. I think we got 5 points. You'll figure them out. Get in there. Y'all gave me 5 just to confuse me. So in that, today, how do we move as an evangelical church that believes in the salvation of people's lives? Will we continue to talk of Jesus? Will we continue to put the message out there? Continue to invite people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And you will continue to invite your friends who are lost. You will continue to speak to your friends which are lost, because they're lost and they don't have a Savior and they don't know Him. And they don't have the power to have their lives changed. And let's go back to the point before that. And if your life is not changing as you walk in the Holy Spirit, I understand why you're not saying anything. I'll never forget one time getting a knock on my door. I was skipping school, and a guy looks at me and he says, "Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" And I said, "No." Because I had a 40-ounce malt liquor in my lap, and I didn't want to say yes and have him get look at me funny. And I don't care if you're saved or not saved. 40 ounces of malt liquor is a bad choice. Bad choice. Anyone? Yeah, I'm just telling you. That doesn't take discernment, Roy. That's just bad choice. So the move of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated by repentance, salvation, and baptism. I'll put all those out there for you real quick. Right? I didn't just say getting saved, because getting saved has become to mean just very simplistic things for some of us. Getting saved today means you're just in your heart, you receive Jesus Christ. What does it mean? That I come today and say, "I know you died for my sins. I'm a sinner, and you died for my sins. And I accept your death as the forgiveness of my sins. I want your life in exchange for my life. I want to live your life for you now." This is the salvation experience. You're my Lord. I follow you. Now the problem is, there's repentance in there, and there's salvation, and he speaks of baptism. It was pretty big to those guys. Am I saying today, if you're not baptized, you're going to hell? I've always liked to say hell. I can't. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying baptism was a big part. Why was baptism big? Somebody tell me why. No. Resurrection, Jesus. It showed to the community. It's proclaiming that Pentecost message. I'm here. I'm new. I'm ready to walk this life with you, my community. I'm here today. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, and you've not, but they didn't know of an unbaptized believer in those days, like we do today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, it's my heart that you will come and give him your life. And I want to tell you right now, you can't bargain for a better life. And if you know Jesus Christ and you in no way are ready to repent of the things that he's convicting you of, the Holy Spirit convicting you, I say today is a day to say yes to that conviction. Because if you'll say yes to the conviction, he'll give you the power to overcome the addiction of your behaviors. Do you believe that? And if you've never been baptized, I call you today and say, let's do it, man. There's nothing more exciting. There's no shame in being baptized. You say, well, who would be ashamed to be baptized? Those people who've known Jesus for a long time and don't want to get baptized because they look like they're new believers and they don't want you to think they're new. Walter will tell you he was baptized after how many years of believing? Shannon was baptized after how many years of believing? We saw many get baptized in the early days of church who'd known the Lord a long time. Better people than me. Still better people than me. And I baptized them, and I was like, I didn't baptize Shannon. Mr. Fox did. But the point was, I encourage you to walk into the full continuum of what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I see that on part of the scale for some reason, some way. I wish I could explain it all to you. But my time's up. Thank God for you, all right? Would you stand with me now? And I invite the ministry team to come forward. Come on, guys. Let's get it wrapped up so we can do the stuff. Woohoo! They're coming. They're busting a move. You're okay, Phil. You feel good, Phil? You feeling good? That's another James Brown song. So we come. There you go, Michael. Get it up there, man. Get it up there. Get that hand in there. I see that hand. All right.
Now, as the Holy Spirit's moving right now, all the accoutrements of the Holy Spirit that were at Pentecost are here right now. The spirit of prophecy is here. The spirit that moved in all the miracles and moved in all of the healings and deliverances are here right now. The spirit that came and brought about change in people's lives is here right now. The one that's strong to move you towards those certain elements of sanctification in your life to deliver you are here right now, bring you into the resurrection life. And today also, that move in your life to bring you into repentance, salvation, and baptism. Here right now. So if you're broken in any form or fashion, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come right now. And I'm praying for His miracles for your life. To break you free from the emotional things that have held you, like just squeezing you. You know what I'm talking about. They're destroying your marriage and your life. He's here right now. Today. Why do it in community? Because the Holy Spirit is forming a community for God. And we do this together. These folks that are up here with me, they're just like you. They're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, to come down and touch you today. Even as they lay hands on you. They're not going to push. They're not going to shove. They're not going to do anything with you you don't want to do. They're not going to tell your business to someone else. They're going to treat you with full dignity because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I ask Him to come. And I plead with you just as Peter pleaded with them. Escape this fallen generation. Leave this fallen world. Don't let it destroy your life. Come today. Come and know this one, this Holy Spirit, who is part of the social Godhead, the Trinity, calling you into community in your life. Come in all the fullness spectrum of the Holy Spirit. And we'll pray for you now and invite you to come even now as I am, and you can come afterwards as well. Come on down. Holy Spirit, move in power right now. Go beyond my voice, go beyond anything said, and hit the hearts of your people. Be reconciled to your God, to the blood of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Be healed. Let your body be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus Christ Himself stood and put His hand upon you, let it be so today, because all authority is rest right here to see healing in your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And come and know this Jesus. This one's there. Be blessed in the name of the Father. And be blessed in the name of the Son. Oh, His love for you. And be blessed in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.